الحمد لله رب العالمين بارئ الخلائق أجمعين باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وسيد المرسلين حبيب إله العالمين المصطفى أبي القاسم محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا أبا عبد الله صلى الله عليك يا ابن رسول الله يا غريب كربلاء رزقنا الله في الدنيا زيارتكم وشفاعتكم في الدنيا والآخرة أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه المجيد وقرآنه الحميد وقوله الحق أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وضرب الله مثلا للذين آمنوا امرأة فرعون إذ قالت رب ابن لي عندك بيتا في الجنة ونجني من فرعون وعمله ونجني من فرعون وعمله ونجني من القوم الظالمين صدق الله العلي العظيم صلوا على محمد وآل محمد Tonight, inshallah, will be the final night where I'm at your service. And over the past few nights, we've been discussing about challenges and responses, where we've discussed three challenges, starting with causes and effects, followed by Orientalism. And last night, we discussed about pertinent approaches for effective communication or to effective communication. And tonight, inshallah, we'll be concluding, summarizing what we've been discussing for the past few nights. We're talking about environmental challenges. So again, just to remind those of you who may not have been with us, we started by causes and effect, starting with a C, causes and effect. Then we talked about Orientalism, an O, followed by pertinent approach to effective communication with a P, and finally tonight, environmental challenges with an E, resulting in the acronym COPE. And hopefully we're trying to present some responses to such challenges so that we can cope with them. Ultimately, my brothers and sisters, what we would try to achieve as mu'mineen is the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is really the ultimate goal, one of the ultimate goals in life. Ahlul Bayti alayhim as-salam, what they really want to achieve is the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Paradise is something great. We all look forward, inshallah, to going to Jannah, to going to paradise. But there is something that is even greater than paradise. Allah says in the Quran, وَرِضْوَانٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرٌ. The pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is even greater. That paradise is actually the means to achieving the goal. which is the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the ultimate goal. That's why even in Jannah, although there is no more actions in the form of Salat and Siyam as we know it today in this dunya, but there is still tasbih. The mu'mineen in Jannah would still do a tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the ultimate goal, to achieve the ridwan of Allah. That's why, brothers and sisters, in this dunya, in this life, we really need to remind ourselves of this goal repeatedly. To remind ourselves that we are not going to stay for eternity in this world. We will leave it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدْ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. All those who believe, fear Allah, remember Allah, that fear of piety, taqwa, and let a soul reflect about what it has done for tomorrow. Death is so near. Allah says in the Quran, they see it far, but we see it very near. The day of judgment will dawn upon us. And Allah emphasizes, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. And have piety again. Allah is all aware of what you do. So we really have to think about our lives, our actions. You know, interestingly, one of the ulama in the previous centuries gives an example to awaken us. He says, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his greatness and Adam with his greatness, Adam was a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yet he made one act of disobedience which was not even a sin, because the prophets do not commit a sin, they're infallible. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took him out from the garden and sent him to earth. Now that garden, of course, was not the eternal garden, Jannah, because that's Jannatul Khuld. Anyone who enters that garden will never come out. And inshallah, we will be among them, inshallah. But he was in a garden, apparently of a worldly garden. But yet, because of one act, which was not even a sin, he was sent down to dunya. This scholar says, what about us then? How many acts of disobedience do we commit on a daily basis? Then how can we aspire and really be proud to be servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You know, Shaykh al-Baha'i narrates this in his Kashkool, and then Shaykh al-Baha'i lived in Iran for a few years. So he started reciting some poetry in Farsi. He took this scholar's words and put it in some poem, in some poetry. He says, Jaddatu Adam Behishtash Jai Bood Qudsiyan Kardan Bahru'u Sujood Yak Gunah Chun Kard Goftandash Tamam Muznebi Muzneb برو بیرون خرام تو طمع دارید که با چندین گناه داخل جنت شوی ای روسیا. It's quite interesting. Of course, these are examples to awaken us. Rahmatullahi subhanahu wa ta'ala wasi'ah. Allah has infinite mercy. We say in first sentence of Dua Kumail, Allahumma إني أسألك برحمتك التي وسعت كل شيء. That's had encompassed everything. So Allah's rahmah is great. It will encompass us, inshallah. Allah wants us to repent to Him, to go back to Him. But it is up to us to put in the effort to make it. What is stopping us? Now, some people blame the environment. They say that we're living in an environment that continuously detract us or distract us from our goals. That environment is not helping us. The Quran has a response. In Surah At-Tahrim, the verse I just recited from Surah At-Tahrim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, to Surah number 66, Allah says, وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. And Allah is giving an example for the believers, all the believers, men and women. Who is the example? Imra'at Fir'aun, the wife of the Pharaoh. That lady lived in a corrupt environment. I mean, Fir'aun, we read about Fir'aun in the Quran. He claimed to be a god. In fact, the god of all gods, رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى. He claimed to be the god. So he was at the pinnacle of corruption. She was living in his house, in his palace, surrounded by this environment of corruption. Yet, this lady managed to overcome that environment. How so? Quran gives one dua she made towards the end of her life. When Fir'aun realized that his wife has believed in the message of Musa alayhi salam, he started punishing her, torturing her. Did that derail her from her goals? Not at all. Rather, she stayed on her message, on her task, focused. And where does she seek the help from? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So she says, إِذْ قَالَتْ رَبِّ ابْنِ لِي عِنْدَكَ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ. Oh my Lord, this is towards apparently the end of her life. She's now nearing the death from the torture, from the punishment. She left the palace of the Pharaoh. She left the wealth of the Pharaoh. She was the queen of the king, the goddess of the god. To leave all that alone is not easy. We're not talking about something easy. A lot of people, unfortunately, are so attached to this world. Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, on his way to Karbala, stops by a place called Qasr Umm Qatil. In it, he finds a man by the name of Ubaydillah ibn al-Hur al-Ju'fi. He tells him, I am heading to Karbala. I'm going to sacrifice. Would you like to join me? What did he say? Sorry, Yabna Rasulullah. You know, I can't. However, I have a horse which is really fast. I would like to give it to you as a donation, as a gift. Take it. This horse of mine is very fast. Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam said, I am not in need of your horse. We are in need of you. You want to come with us? Ahlan wa sahlan, as we say in Arabic. Then come with us. You don't? Then just leave and stay away from us. For I swear by Allah, anyone who hears my call on the day of Ashura and does not respond is cursed. This man had a great opportunity. He had the opportunity where all the ulama, the scholars, the sayyids, the non-sayyids would have stood in front of him and would have said to him, Bi abi anta wa ummi. He had a chance. May my father and mother be sacrificed for you. He had that chance. But he gave it up. That's why, interestingly, some historians say that he was the first man to visit the grave of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. After Imam al-Sajjad salamullah alayhi buried Imam al-Hussein, the first person to come to the qabr for the ziyarah was him, Ubaydillah ibn al-Hur al-Ju'fi. And he has famous lines of poetry in Arabic where he is really trying to blame himself, saying, what opportunity did I give up? Why did I do this? And interestingly, he was standing at the river of Furat to drink some water. He was attacked by some people. So to escape the attack, he jumped into the river and drowned. This was his aqibah. Su'ul aqibah wal'iyadu billah. It's what we call su'ul aqibah. That's why we always should say in our salat, رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابِ رَبِّ لَا تَكِلْنِي إِلَى نَفْسِي طَرْفَةَ عَيْنٍ أَبَدًا وَاجْعَلْ عَوَاقِبَ أُمُورِي أَوْ أُمُورِنَا إِلَى خَيْرٍ. Give us حسن العاقبة, not سوء العاقبة. Why did he have سوء العاقبة? Remember the causes and the effects? It's his choice. He chose not to join Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. So what was the effect? He drowned in the river of the Furat. Su'ul aqibah. Whereas Hur ibn Yazid al-Riyahi is the exact opposite. He was against al-Imam al-Hussein salamullahi alayhi. Then switches. Hur was also powerful. A commander. He had authority. He had wealth. He had a huge tribe. That switch is not an easy switch. Yet he did it. He said, أُخَيِّرُ نَفْسِي بَيْنَ الْجَنَّةِ وَالنَّارِ وَلَا أَخْتَارُ عَلَى الْجَنَّةِ شَيْئًا. I am torn right now between heaven and hell, and I will never choose anything over heaven. And he goes to join Imam al-Hussein, salamullahi alayhi. He also was in a corrupt environment. He was in an environment where at least 30,000 men were there against Imam al-Hussein with about 100 men. He was in that environment. How did he manage to overcome it? The wife of Pharaoh, she managed to overcome it. So blaming the environment alone is not an excuse. It's not an excuse. Because there are examples in history, in the Quran, of such individuals who lived in such environments. They had dunya at their fingertips. I mean, imagine being a queen, living in a palace, having servants, gold, silver, whatever you choose is right there for you. He himself, Fir'aun, says to his people, don't you see the rivers are flowing underneath my palace? He had dunya with him. She was with him. She gave it all up. She gave it all up. So brothers and sisters, how did she manage to do this? We have really an obligation, a task upon us to try to overcome these challenges, to try to overcome them. The environmental challenges are indeed there. I'm not denying that they do not exist. They are there. Distractions are there. But we need to overcome them. It's like a fish which is swimming against the tide. But it is doable. At the end, they do achieve their goal. It is doable. How? Well, very briefly, I will leave you with another acronym. PEACE. P-E-A-C-E. A lot of people are deprived of the inner peace. A lot of people are deprived of the true happiness. The first approach we need to do to achieve it in the P of peace is positive thinking. To always have a positive image of the world. As they say, the cup is always half full, not half empty. Think positively. Things happen to us in dunya. But let me think, this is really for my own good. It is said there was a man in Najaf. He was a businessman, a goldsmith. Very rich, mashallah. But subhanallah, Allah tests people with different examinations. Different examinations. He had wealth, he had a good reputation, respect. But he did not have children. Allah took that away from him. So one day he goes to the shrine of Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen, salamullahi alayhi, and he cries. He says, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, Allah has blessed me with lots of wealth, many things, but I would like an act or something that would remember me after my death. I would like maybe a child, not for the sake of having a child, but to be remembered. This child one day would raise his hands in the salat and says, Rabbi ighfir li wa li walidayya warhamhuma kama rabbayani saghira. I would like this, but I don't have it. So I'm seeking help. And he started crying. He was praying sincerely, genuinely. He left the holy shrine of Amir al-Mu'mineen, salamullahi alayhi. Then he was struck with an idea. An idea came to him. Sometimes Ahlul Bayt respond, but not, for example, them coming in person or in your dreams, but rather they give you an inspiration. What is the idea? Write a book of dua. A book of dua. So indeed, he thought to himself, you know what, I can do that. Although he was a businessman. He was not a alim, a scholar, a sheikh, not at all. A businessman. He goes to write a book of dua. He wrote it. This was maybe 60, 70 years ago. This man died long time ago. About a year ago, I was in the United Kingdom, invited to give a talk. Someone invites me to his house. I go to the house, I see that book of dua in that person's house in the UK. And I tell him, do you read from this book? He says, yes, every day I read from this book. In the Arab world, it's a very famous book of dua after Mafatih al-Jinan. Of course, Mafatih is the famous one. Sheikh Abbas al-Qumi, rahmatullahi alayhi. He had a lot of sincerity. This man also had sincerity. Ikhlas. This is a common book. So I said to myself, and I told this man, I told him, do you know the story behind this book? This is the story behind this book. This man has died long time ago, and now he's getting the thawab. Every day you're reading from his book, he's getting the thawab. So it may appear on the outside that being deprived of children was a punishment, was something bad, but rather it was something good. If he had children, he may never have written this book of dua. And then having children, maybe you have one child, the second generation, third, but 10 generations down the road, they may not even remember who you are. They may not even know who you are. This book of dua exists there forever almost. That is positive thinking. We may be struck sometimes with difficulties. Some people may have health problems, wealth problems. We saw what happened in 2008 with the financial crisis here. How many people lost their jobs, lost their homes. It was devastating. But it could be, as they say, a blessing in disguise. A blessing in disguise. I'm not sure about you, but I have met some people who unfortunately were not on the right path. But when they were slapped one day, that slap woke them up. And you find them attending the majalis afterwards. That may have been a difficulty, may have been a punishment, but it's a mercy from Allah. That's positive thinking. To think of all the problems in our lives. It does not mean that I'd sit back and say, wallah, this is a blessing, khalas, you know, I should not do anything about it. Of course not. I said on the first day, laysa lil insani illa ma sa'a. You know, the human being has to strive, of course, to solve the problems, work towards them. But does not mean that I feel bogged down with all this. Think positively. And this applies not only to the problems, anything. You go to the doctor's appointment, the doctor comes out, you wait for half an hour, and then the doctor or the nurse comes out and says, you know what, I'm very sorry, today I cannot see you, or the doctor cannot see you today. Some people will be very upset. What do you mean you can't see me? I took a day off, I've been here for half an hour, and they start arguing and fighting and discussing and so on and so forth. Rather, just think, you know what, this doctor at the end of the day is a human being like me. He has children like I have children. He has a family like I have. Maybe he had an emergency and he had to leave. So you know what, no problem. We'll reschedule. Because at the end of the day, he's not going to see you anyways. So you yelling and shouting and getting angry is not going to get you anywhere. So then what's the point? The husband says something, the wife says something, positive thinking. Always be positive about this world. That will truly bring you the inner peace. That's the P. The E is the environment. We need to put ourselves in the right environments. Coming to these majalis is very important. We need to bring our children to these majalis. Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. O those who believe, safeguard yourselves and your families from the hellfire. Not just us, but our families too. Bring the children here. Let them be raised here. Because then this becomes part of their identity. I've grown. I ask you a question. What brings you here? Maybe some of you would remember back 20 years ago, 50 years ago, when your parents used to take you to such places. If you remember, back in those old days. You were little boys at the time or little girls. They used to take you to these places. You grew up with them. And hence you find some people when they first come to these places, the first thing they do is to look for such places. The places of dhikru ahlul bayt alayhim as-salam. But we need to train our children to come in such environments. We live in a busy world. As I referred to the other day, it's kind of the drive-through world. Busy, busy, fast, fast. But we need to come to such places to really have a pause in our lives and reflect what's really important. Where are my children these days? Where are they going to do? What are they going to do in me, in my life, after I die? A few years ago, in one of the Canadian cities, I won't mention which one, a mu'min tells me, he says, I go to the masjid. They have a masjid in that city. I go in the morning to open the masjid, to unlock it. I see a dead body. Somebody dead on the ground. Whose dead body is this? He said, we started calling some people, you know, 2, 3, 4 hours later, no news. Dead body there. He said, well, I was about to call the police. Tell them that there's a dead body here. We don't know who it belongs to. He said, as I picked up or wanted to pick up the phone to call the police, the phone rang. Salamun alaykum, alaykum as-salam. Did you find a body? Yes. That's my father. Ajib, your father? He said, yes. He said, he died last night in the hospital. I didn't know what to do with him. And I have to go to work today. Wallah, this is not a true story, huh? I had to go to work today. So I thought I'll bring him there. You guys take care of him. We run in this dunya to get them into the best houses, the best cars, the best educations. We look after their MCAT scores, their LSAT scores, their SATs. But what about their deen? So what if my son becomes a doctor, but then he throws me there in the front of the masjid when I die? A few months ago in the city where I live, in Canada, a man comes and says, I am burning the body of my father, burning it, cremation, after his death. We tried to convince him, Ya akhi, this is haram. No. And again, he burnt it, unfortunately. Is this really what we want? We need to really pay attention. When our children come here, what do they dress? What do they wear? What do they do? That's why we remind people, hijab is important for the mothers. Because your children will look after you. Some of you will say, no, we dress conservatively, so I'm okay. Well, what are you going to tell your children? Well, say, this is our culture. They say, excuse me, I live in America. I'm in American culture. This is what my culture is. I've never seen Iran in my world, in my life, or Iraq in my life. So don't talk to me about culture. This is my culture. But when you say it's deen, it's our religion. But I have to be a role model for them. So that environment, the house environment, should be the environment of dua. In the morning, dua al-sabah, Quran. Thursday night, dua kumail. Tuesday night, dua al-tawassul. Is that the environment we keep our children in? Or the environment of, mashallah, dancing and this and that? So the environment is very important. That's 2. 3. The A. Good, very good, mashallah. Some of you are with me here. Good. So we said the P stands for positive thinking. Positive thinking. The E is for the environment. We need to keep ourselves in a positive environment, in a good environment. I know we're surrounded with all this around us. But the wife of Pharaoh, although she was surrounded with all this corruption, she still turned to dua. She's turned to Allah. And that's what kept her strong and powerful. Ya Allah, I want a house with you in Jannah. I don't care. Save me from Fir'aun and his actions. And save me from these people. I don't want these palaces. I don't want these rivers. I don't want the gold. She turns to Allah. She made an environment for her within that corrupt environment. So the E is for my... The A. Appreciation. To appreciate. We need to learn to appreciate what we have in dunya. Nobody has everything. No one. You may have money, but some person may not have respect. A person may have authority, but he may not have love, people's love. Okay. A person may be poor. He doesn't have money, but he has people's respect. Nobody has everything. In this dunya, no one has everything. But let us appreciate what Allah gave us. Let us appreciate what we have. Imam Ali alayhi salam in Nahjul Balagha has a hadith along these lines where the true wealth is content. Content is the true wealth. When you're happy with what you have. I don't know if you've seen some people in Iran, in Iraq, in some poor countries. You walk by some people, they have a kiosk, not even a store, like a kiosk, right? A small kiosk in which they sell some simple groceries, some simple things. No? Have you seen these people? He has a small house. In this house, he raises his family, his children, and they're happy. He's happy. This is all he has. He may not have the latest model of the phones. I have this phone. It's really good. It's working. Well, a new model has come. Well, I don't have the money for it, but credit. Let me go get it because I really want it. I don't need it, but I want it. We've mixed our needs and wants. I want a bigger house. I want a nicer car. So what do I do? Credit, 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 credit until I'm drowning in credit. Drowning in debt. And that was one of the reasons for the financial crisis in 2008. Because people were not appreciating what they have, what their limits are. Be happy with what you have. Appreciate it. Imam Ali alayhi salam, Fatimah al-Zahra salamullahi alayhima, they gave their food 3 days in a row to poor people, to a poor person, a destitute, to an orphan, to a prisoner. And they broke their fast with water. That's it. Even their children were hungry. Hassan and Hussein alayhim as-salam were hungry. No food. It was not like us where I can give all my food and I have a fridge, mashallah, full of food for the next 2 months. This is all they had. But did that really affect their lives? Not at all. They're so happy, so content, appreciating what they have. And that family, that environment is what created al-Imam al-Husayn salamullahi alayhi. Zainab salamullahi alayha. Imam al-Sajjad says, on the eve of the 11th of Muharram, I saw my aunt Zainab praying Salatul Layl. Salatul Layl. But one difference, she was praying while sitting down, not standing up. I asked her, why are you sitting, my aunt? She said, I've lost my strength today. But even on the 11th, when they had no tents, no family members anymore, no men except Imam al-Sajjad, salamullahi alayhi, she still prayed. Where did she learn that from? About 50 years ago, she saw her mother, Fatima, salamullahi alayha, praying in the middle of the night. She narrates the hadith. She was praying for all the neighbors. The whole night, I told her mother, what about us? She said, Al-jar thumma ad-dar. The neighbors first and then us. When she sees her mother in such an environment, then Zainab alayhi salam became the hero of Karbala. Of course, with Allah's guidance, with Allah's help, but of course that upbringing was important. Where do we stand? So appreciate. That's the A. What is the next letter? P-E-A? C. And the C, my dear brothers and sisters, stands for contemplate. To contemplate. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about those who have a mind in the Quran. الذين يذكرون الله قياما وقعودا وعلى جنوبهم ويتفكرون في خلق السماوات والأرض ربنا ما خلقت هذا باطلا سبحانك فقنا عذاب النار. Those who remember Allah while they're standing up, sitting down, lying down, and they reflect, contemplate upon the creation of the heavens and the earth. Ya Allah, you did not create this out of vanity. So save us from the fire, the punishment of the hellfire. Contemplation. Sometimes we really need to sit down. Life is so busy, 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 busy. Reflect. Spend time to think. Where am I going in this dunya? What have I accomplished in my dunya? If Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, salamullahi alayhi, Imam al-Muttaqeen, Amir al-Mu'mineen, is found praying, doing sujood in the middle of the night, in the desert, and saying, Ah, min qillat al-zad, wa bu'd al-tariq, wa mashaqqat al-safar. He says, Oh, I am worried about the long journey that I have to travel and how little of good deeds I have committed or performed. Amir al-Mu'mineen. And the difficulty of this journey. If he's saying this, if Ahlul Bayt, as we read in Surah Al-Insan, when they gave their food, sacrifice what they like for the sake of Allah, at the end, why do they do this? Inna nakhafu min rabbina yawman abusan qamtarira fawaqahum Allah sharra dhalika al-yawm wa laqahum nadratan wa surura. We are afraid. They said we are afraid. Ahlul Bayt, whom Allah created this whole universe for them and because of them. They're saying we are afraid. What about me? What about us? Brothers and sisters, it is time to repent, to reflect, to go back to Allah. Do not delay it any further. Look after our children. Let's look after them. Let's look after ourselves. This dunya is not everlasting. God forbid tomorrow one of us may not be here anymore. One of us, they might call and say, come to the funeral. So on, so on. Was us yesterday and now today we're attending his funeral. Has not this happened? Wallah, in Edmonton, a man went to the checkup, to the doctor. The doctor said, we did a physical for you. Everything is perfect. His wife told me. She said, the doctor said, everything is good. All the tests came out negative. Alhamdulillah, you're very healthy. He comes down the stairs, sits in his car, turns on the ignition, and he passes away. Allah. His wife says, I was shocked. I was with him at the doctor. Nothing. Khalas, done. This is dunya. What have we accomplished? What have we done? Contemplate. And finally, the E is the effort to help. The last E. Let's put in the effort to help. Help people. You know, the human being is composed of two parts. There is the physical component and then there is the spiritual component. The physical component is nourished, is nurtured by taking. We eat food, we drink fluids. That's how we nurture ourselves. That's how we grow. That's how we develop. That's how we develop strength. That's how the energy is functioning in our bodies, through taking. The spiritual component, however, is the exact opposite. It grows through giving. The more you give, the happier you become. The more you give, the happier you become. But we in Islam have Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, who taught us believers We have a very simple formula for you. Follow our example. Dhikrullah.
الذين آمنوا وتطمئن قلوبهم بذكر الله ألا بذكر الله تطمئن القلوب.
Those who believe and their hearts find peace and tranquility in the remembrance of Allah. I spoke to a doctor, a medical doctor, recently, who said that I tell some of my patients, faith is very important for your healing. We read in Dua Kumail, Ya man ismuhu dawa wa dhikruhu shifa. O one whose name is the medicine, but what is the cure? Dhikruhu. His dhikr is the cure. The name is the medicine, but the dhikr is the cure. Dhikrullah. It's what can help us to achieve that inner peace, the inner tranquility. I hope I leave you with this message, my dear brothers and sisters, over the past 4 nights. It's been a pleasure to be with you here, an honor to be with you here. And I do apologize to all of you about the timings, if I may take in some of your timings. But please do forgive me, and I humbly request you to remember me and my family and my parents in your du'as. But let us reflect, how much have we given to Ahlul Bayt, alayhimu salam, that effort to help. See, the reason Ahlul Bayt are so great, one of the reasons, of course, is because they gave everything for the sake of Allah. A poet says, on the tongue of Imam al-Hussein, on behalf of, like, as if Imam al-Hussein is saying, إلهي تركت الخلق طرا في هواك وأيتمت العيال لكي أراك فإن قطعتني في الحب إربا ما مال الفؤاد إلى سواك. Oh Allah, I gave everything, sacrificed everything for your love. And I've made my children orphaned for you, Ya Allah. And even if you cut me into pieces, I will never love anyone other than you, Ya Allah. Zainab, salamullahi alayha, goes to Ibn Ziyad as a prisoner. What a difficulty it was for Zainab, salamullahi alayha, to stand in front of a person who is worthless, insignificant. And he tells her, how did you see, in your opinion, what Allah has done to you and to your brothers and family members? She says, from Allah, I did not see anything but beauty. مَا رَأَيْتُ إِلَّا جَمِيلًا. It was difficult. They gave everything. That's why they are so great. On the day of Ashura, Imam al-Hussein, it is narrated, came to bid the last farewell to the family. He told Zainab, Ya Zainab, they killed even my baby. Ali al-Asghar was killed. I have no one left. He came to bid the final farewell. He came to ride his horse. He heard a voice calling him, Mahla, Mahla, Yabna. Hamabam mahla mahla ya abna. Ba Zainab zamzame kunid mahla ya abna sabrina mohan jarat busa پیشانی اترت بوسم. ای برادر جان رازی مگر من شوم تنها، آوار باشم در همین سنگ را. Wait, Ya Abu Abdullah. What do you want, Zainab? Come down, brother. This is the final night. So I would like to remember As-Sayyida Zahra, Salamullahi Alayha. She said, brother Abu Abdullah, open your shirt for me. He opened his shirt for her. She kissed him on his chest, smelled him from his neck. Then she turned towards Medina and said, As-Salamu Alayki Ya Ummah. لقد أديت الوصية. Oh mother, I have fulfilled the will. Imam al-Hussein said, Ya Zainab, what is this will? She said, brother Abu Abdullah, on the last day in the life of our mother Fatima, salamullahi alayha, in this dunya, she took my hand and said, Zainab, when you see your brother Hussein all alone in Karbala, with no helper and no support, I will not be there with you, Ya Zainab. Kiss him on his chest for me. Smell him from his neck for me. Why, mother? Because his chest will fall under the horses of Bani Umayyah. His neck will fall under the swords of Bani Umayyah. When Imam al-Hussein heard the name of his mother Fatima, salamullahi alayha, he cried and turned towards Medina and said, As-salamu alayki ya ummah, ma ashwaqani ilayki. I miss you dearly, O mother. Indeed, it is narrated that among the will of Fatima al-Zahra alayha salam to Imam Ali, salamullahi alayhi, on his last day, she told him, Amir al-Mu'mineen, after me, take care of my sons Hassan and Hussein. They will be orphaned. Take care of them. Ba Ali begofto dokhtar peyambar. Ya Ali resid umreman ba'okhar. Geriyakon Ali jom barmano yatimom. خاص بر حسینم اون زبیه آچون ایا زهرا ایا زهرا ایا زهرا انا لله وانا الیه راجعون وسيعلم الذين ظلموا اي منقلب ينقلبون والعاقبه للمتقين. May Allah accept from all of us these humble efforts and deeds. Brothers and sisters, may Allah forgive us all inshallah, and please Ahlul Bayt and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with our actions. May Allah keep us always with Ahlul Bayt. Salamullahi alayhim ajma'in. May Allah make us and our children until the day of judgment among the sincere followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. And may Allah grant us their shafa'a in dunya, in the qabr, and in the akhirah. Ila arwahil mu'minina wal mu'minat. Rahim Allah man yaqra as-surat al-mubarakat al-fatiha ma'as-salawat. Allah salli ala